Okay, now let's go up to chapter 12, page 102. Mechanical advantage systems. There are two types of mechanical advantage systems that we're going to need to get some practice on, get some experience tying. It's a 3-to-1 system and a 4-to-1 system. Well, hopefully you had a chance to read this section about mechanical advantage. Like 1 pound of force on a 3-to-1 system will raise 3 pounds of weight minus a certain amount for friction. A 4-to-1 system, a pound of weight on the tensioning line will raise 4 pounds. Now this doesn't come free, of course, because as you're pulling, 1 foot change in height to the weight takes 3 times that length of change on a 3-to-1 system and 4 times that length on a 4-to-1 system. Why would we do such things? Well, you may have noticed, if you looked at the standards, that one of the objectives of the BSA programs is inclusiveness, designing programs so that everybody can participate, regardless of physical abilities. I was attending the Delmarva Council event once and was chatting with the climbing committee chairman out there, and he was telling me a most marvelous story. Some of you in the Capillary Council may have run into a Monsignor Brady. This little Catholic priest was just one really cool dude. He was such a really nice person. He would spend his summers frequently down at Goshen. He would start the day by walking around the lake. I think that's what, 5 miles or so? And he was in his 80s. He's a really frail guy. Well, the chairman of the committee was telling me a story where Monsignor Brady was at his tower. And he asked him if he would like to climb the tower. And the Monsignor was, "Well, no, look, I'm really not physically able to climb." He said, "Not a problem." They hooked him up to a 3-to-1 mechanical system, and he climbed the tower. And then he rappelled down, and it was the height of his day. When I was at the last Northeast Region Summit for Köppen Climbing, I saw some videos from the Laurel Highlands Council. I think the name is Camp Gayoset. It's right outside of Pittsburgh. And he said, "Here, let me show you this video." I think it was a video of Heather. This young lady had been confined to a wheelchair almost since birth. And they, using pulleys and mechanical advantage systems, took her up to the top of the zip line tower, connected her in, zipped her down to the other side, and then took her away from the platform and lowered her back into her wheelchair. And the look on her face was just incredible. And Charlie, the guy who was demonstrating the videos, when he got to the end, he turned it up and said, "I'm a volunteer, and that day I got paid." So mechanical systems have a place in our program of helping safely move people from the ground up, and when they're up high, helping them back to the ground when our belay team needs that mechanical advantage. So on page 103, they've got some examples. Notice that I'm sorry. Let's go back up to 102. We need to make sure that we understand what the terminology is. A pulley has got sides, and in the inside, the wheel that turns is called a sheave. And the connections are beckets. So, and the quality of a pulley depends upon the material that the sheave is constructed out of. Remember, we've got steel cables. The only pulleys that should be on those steel cables have a steel sheave. And the expense of the pulley is going to depend upon the frequently on the axle and what kind of bearing. Does it have bearings or does it have bushings? And that's going to determine how smoothly it rolls and what kind of weight it can withstand. On page 103, they've got different forms of pulleys. You'll notice how some of them, the sides of the pulleys can slide, can move. That allows us to put them over the cable, over the rope, and then position them, lock them into place, and then use them. The pulley that's in the upper right-hand corner that's got, looks like two sheaves, that is a form of a pulley that can be used on a zip line. And the one right below it is designed for zip lines.
Hey, Tony?
Yeah, Brad?
Just as a side note, going back up to the previous page, that prussic, I can't read it, something shape, prussic is spelled P-R-U-S-S-I-C, so there seems to be a difference on the spelling. But anyway, just a note.
Yep. It's if I... Yeah, there's a couple different ways of spelling it, and I usually use the P-R-U-S-S-I-C, but the manual uses P-R-U-S-I-K. So whatever, look for both.
Whatever.
Look for both. But learning how to tie them is very important. Now, since you brought up the subject of prussic, if you're on page 103, in the upper right-hand corner of that, you'll notice there's two single sheave pulleys. There's one that goes around the load, and then there's one that's tied to the anchor. That yellow thing that's on the rope under the upper pulley, that's a prussic.
Okay.
Now, if you look very closely, you'll notice that prussic is bumping right against the sides of the pulley. So as you pull on the rope to raise the load, the pulley will be pushing the prussic down. And as soon as you let go of that, then the rope will pull the prussic away from the pulley, and the prussic will grab the rope. So you see how that would make it possible for you to be lifting that load and let go of the rope, and the load won't fall.
Oh, right.
Okay. So wherever you see the yellow on those pictures, that is that prussic. And you'll notice, again, it's right next to the pulley. The shape of that pulley, by the way, you notice it's got a squarish bottom. When you see pulleys like that, you'll often see them referred to as a PMP, a prussic minding pulley. And the purpose of that is, as the rope goes towards the pulley minds the prussic. It allows the rope to slide through the prussic, but won't allow it to, and when the rope goes away from the pulley, then the prussic spreads out and grabs the rope. The green ropes in those diagrams also are additional prussics, but they're designed to be adjusted as necessary in order to accomplish the purpose. Let's see. And to figure mechanical advantage, one way is to look at the ropes that are pulling on the load. And roughly speaking, that's the mechanical advantage that you'll have. Now, in page 103 on the right-hand side, that middle diagram, that is a really complicated one. You'll notice you've got a 3-to-1 pulley, but on the pull rope, the pulling end of the working end of the rope, you've got another pulley with a 2-to-1 mechanical advantage. So you started with a 3-to-1, and then you're putting a 2-to-1 on the end of that. So it's 3-to-1 times 2-to-1, a 6-to-1 mechanical advantage. So it'll be easy to pull, easy to lift, but you're going to be periodically having to rest and reestablish the connections, sliding those prussics down to pick up the slack. That's going to use a lot of rope.
Mm-hmm.
So on 104, we talk about the characteristics, and that's where I was talking about looking at the number of ropes attached to the moving parts of the load that determine what your mechanical advantage is. If it's not on a moving part, it's just changing direction. And you can see that on page 105. On page 105 on the applications, on the upper left-hand corner, that is a 2-to-1 because there's two lines going through the pulley attached to the load, and then the one going through the static pulley, that's just changing direction. And you'll also notice with that setup, if you let go of the rope, that load's going to come down to the ground.
Right.
Now, I do have some pulleys, and I plan on bringing them. I usually have them with me at all times. So if anyone wants to practice mechanical advantage climbing, we can certainly do that when we're back out in the course. Now, I will use pulleys out on the course, but when you talk to our climbing committee, generally they don't. It's an extra piece of gear. It has no resistance to turning. So it's would not be generally safe for them to use as part of their climbing program. Okay, so pulley systems, we use them in COPE for assistance with interventions, rarely, for helping disabled individuals to participate whenever possible. Any questions about this? A key takeaway I want everyone to have is if you're going to be using these if you're level 2 and are going to use these in your program, please practice them and set them up so they're ready to go. Because if you're trying to put them together on the fly, you're going to be under stress. It's going to be a difficult to control situation. So you want this ready to go. You cannot afford to make mistakes with these on the course. And always remember that everyone must be belayed. So you've got that backup life system. And if you do all that, you should never have a reportable incident. You might have an interesting moment or two, but no one will get hurt. Right? Those are the two topics I wanted to cover for this evening. What else would everyone like to talk about?
Are we still on for Saturday and Snyder?
Yes, we are, Jeff.
Okay.
What would you like to do out there?
Whatever you think important, probably to see everything we discussed in action.
Okay.
Quick story. I'm not sure if you guys have heard that we recently had three blind Eagle Scouts all get their Eagle. And his father was speaking at an Eagle luncheon and made mention to, they got one of his sons to do a zip line blind, and how the staff, you know, talked him through it, gave him the confidence. And like you mentioned earlier, it's pretty life altering for someone of those challenges to have that experience. We got to find ways to do that more often.
Speaking of that, Jeff, if anyone would like to, you're more than welcome to try climbing blindfolded. It is, thank you very much for mentioning that, Jeff, because that is really quite an experience. It's a strong trust building, and boy, is it a confidence builder. Why would you do this? Well, gain understanding of what it's like to be disabled. The other thing is, when you practice in a challenged, you push the limits on a challenge at a time and place of your choice. When you're in a similar situation at a time and place not of your choice, you can say with confidence, been there, done that, got the shirt. We can get through this. And when you can exhibit that confidence, you are the leader. Because you are making sure that there's leadership there. And that can be a real game changer.
And it was also interesting that he used the reference that blind isn't a disability. It's just a different part of their character. So we all have different characters and personality. And it was just amazing how it just so happens that we don't see very well. And it was not a big deal to have that character challenge for these gentlemen. And I think it goes back to the language that we address the youth, whether they're handicapped or not, to give them the confidence to pursue such a challenge and get out of the comfort level.
Jeff, did they happen to mention how they viewed themselves? I mean, disabled certainly wouldn't be a word they would use.
They don't see themselves disabled. They just see themselves as they have a challenge. You know, they've got 2 feet and they go to school just like you or your kids did. The father went to school and is a very successful lawyer. In fact, he's about to get tapped out. He's the highest government official who is legally blind and or disabled, and he's about to get tapped out for the White House. He's already worked for George W. So it just so happens he just, you know, as he says, I can't drive a truck. That's my only limit.
Well, not currently, of course.
Yeah.
We're working on it.
I mean, it really is amazing, their whole thought process. You know, we're more scared of them being blind. And he tells the story that the reason why he took on these three kids, because when he was 10 years old and trying to get into Boy Scouts, the leaders then said, no, it's too dangerous for a blind kid to be in Boy Scouts. You can't go outdoors, so forth and so on. So 20, 30 years later, when this opportunity comes, he's like, no, I'm not going to deny these three kids, but I was denied. So they don't really see that as a handicap. It's just kind of a challenge that they've learned to work around. Again, they all got Eagles with no exceptions, no special
dispensations.
If you're handicapped, you can work around a few things. They did the swim test. Like I said, they climb, they do the zip line. And that's a great lesson for the other kids to learn too.
Boy, wouldn't that be interesting to do something like that during a, say, a Weebelo campout? It would be possible.
I think if you get those kids blindfolded, that would really kind of set the pace.
Well, it's challenged by choice. And, well, seriously, it's, you're blindfolded. Imagine what would happen if you had to climb something and you now got dust in your eyes or you're sun blind or whatever. You're not going to have a choice. Wouldn't it be fascinating to have this? Well, wait a minute. This is like before where I just had a blindfold on. One of the things that we have done with, like, the scouter horn, I think we did it at Goshen at 50. We did a lot of things out there. We had some youth that would go, yeah, this wasn't a problem. This wasn't a challenge. I said, well, good. Want to do it blindfolded? And that was interesting because you had people on the ground yelling at them which to reach for. That was a lot of fun, actually.
I'm not sure how many folks on the line are familiar with working with the Cub Scouts, but most of what I do is the scatterhorn with Cub Scouts. And what it does for their self-esteem is incredible. And more importantly, it blows mom and dad's minds because most of those kids are way too overprotective. And they are just as stunned to see their kid climb up that wall as those kids are. It's great to watch these little guys shimmy up that rock.
And that's another tool in the COPE repertoire. We just haven't figured out how to more fully use that. But by the way, I will be out at Goshen on the, I think it's 3rd of June, doing scouter horn training, in case anyone is interested in coming out and seeing how it operates or learning how to operate it. And if we have enough people who are interested, we can show you what other things can be done with it when the operators have taken COPE or climbing training. Thank you very much for sharing that, Jeff. Greatly appreciate it. What else would anyone else like to talk about? Well, in that case, I'll give you back 18 minutes of your evening. Thank you all very much for signing in this evening and hope to see you out on the course. Please check the NCACBSA.org website for the 2018 COPE and Scouterhorn schedule. If you have any questions about what's happening on any of those days, please give me a call. Hopefully you all have my number. If not, you certainly have my email address. Let me know. And please send me a note that you're here this evening.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Tony.
Thanks, guys.